Invite you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Been a something on my heart here for some time, and have sought the Lord's face about it and wanted to know more about it and understand about it. I'm not telling you that this message is the end-all of it, but it's blessed me, and I trust and pray it'll be a blessing and help, even a practical help to you. And me. And may our Lord speak to us and help us through His Word. Here in Romans chapter 6, and we're looking to observe the Lord's Supper here this morning for the membership of Olmsted Baptist Church. And so we're kind of have our hearts and mind directed towards the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And so we're going to speak about the other ordinance of baptism. And may the Lord help us here, and we might see some of these things that about this, and some of this I pray and trust maybe you know it already, and it's just going to be a reinforcement of it, okay? But the way that the Lord helped me to understand this more was a real blessing to me. And so may the Lord help us together. In Romans chapter 6, verse number 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We've been saved from sin. And so the antinomian consideration and approach, just go ahead and sin so the grace of the Lord will abound more. No, that's wickedness. It's not the design. It's not the call of our Lord. We've been saved from our sin. Yeah, we have this old man bent towards sin, but it's no excuse for us sinning. And the Lord's given us great provision and repentance and prayer unto our Lord about such. John tells us He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we're faithful, if we are confess our sin unto Him as His children. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So He helps us with this. So shall we live in sin? No. God forbid. God forbid, how shall we who are that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Verse 3, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Okay, verse 4. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I want to speak this morning, with the Lord's blessing and help, about this subject, our Lord Jesus Christ, baptisms. Now, Brother Jim, wait a minute. Well, hang in there with me, okay? Let's see what the Scripture says. Our Lord Jesus Christ, baptism. And I think there's more than one, okay? Let's take a look here. In this passage, and chose this passage because it speaks about what our Lord's done for us and the things that He's provided for us in salvation and everything around that is calling upon us. We who are members of the Lord's New Testament Baptist Church, it's by baptism that we've joined Olmsted Baptist Church after we gave testimony to the fact that our Lord had saved us, okay? And so that's the order. That's the reason for this ordinance, is to show an identification with Christ. But this passage bears out something that is here, okay? And I want to present to you this morning. Know ye not that so many of us, verse 3, as were baptized, okay, baptized, that's the dunking, okay? That's the putting under the water. We don't have any special water. We get the water from South Logan Water Corporation. There's nothing special about it. We don't have anybody come in here and bless it or anything. It's just water, and it's deep enough to get... We who are those of you that have been baptized here and baptized in the membership of this church, get you under, okay? Baptism. We've been baptized. All of us have been baptized, either of this church or a church of like faith and order, okay, whose baptism we receive. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized, okay, baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized, put under, and two, his death. Okay, so there's a connection there about his death. We identify with his death. We're connected to his death. This word baptized here in the Greek, baptizo, B-A-P-T-I-Z-O, okay, baptizo, okay? It's not important so much that you remember that, but it'll help if you do, okay? This is rendered in our King James translation of the Scripture. This is rendered as baptized, baptize, baptizing, baptist, wash, washed, past tense, baptized, baptizing, or baptizeth. It's speaking about being dunked, okay? That's what it's speaking about. It's being put under the water to make whelmed, that is fully wet, okay? Used in the New Testament, the ordinance of Baptist, this says Christian baptism, but it's Baptist baptism, which is Christian baptism, but we don't want to get that confused with any other organization trying to do the things that they do. Then we come here to verse number 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. Baptized. Okay. This word is different. It's only rendered this way in our English, or King James Version translation of the Bible. It's only rendered as baptism all through the Scripture. And go check me out if you want to. I want you to. Baptism. Baptisma. There is the baptizing that we do. And there is that fullness and whelming over of all things in Christ that are so. But then there's this thing of baptisma. The baptism. Baptism. What is it all about? Well, I'll tell you what. It's all connected to Christ. It all comes from him and because of him and through him. And that's what we want to consider here this morning, these things and about this ordinance and what our Lord has done for us. Next, let's consider Jesus' baptism or baptisms, okay? And hang in there with me, okay? I'm not going to tell you something, and no smoke and mirrors. My hands will never leave my arms. All right, we're going to go to the Word of God and see what it says here. Matthew chapter 3. Let's take a look. Matthew chapter 3. Our Lord Jesus' baptism. Look here in Matthew chapter 3, quickly. In verse number 1, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Verse 2, and saying, here's the message it's always been, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Sinners, if you're here without Christ, you need to repent, believe the gospel. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is right here up against you. You're looking at it. The members of this church, brothers and sisters in Christ, children of God that have been saved, carrying forth the word of the gospel and the word of the truth of God in this church that is the pillar and ground of the truth. You've never come closer to the kingdom of God than you have here this morning. Repent and believe the gospel. Our Lord is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, that is Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John was a forerunner to our Lord Jesus. Verse 4. Then the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. He was a rare looking fellow, wasn't he? He was rough. Then went out unto him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. John's out there baptizing. He's not just baptizing anybody, but he's baptizing those that says, I'm a sinner and I need that one that you're preaching about. I trust in that one that you're preaching about. I trust in him. Verse number 13. Baptism of Jesus Christ, okay? Our Lord Jesus' baptism. Verse number 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him, to be put under the water by him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Verse 15. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We see John baptizing and preaching and baptizing believers that come to him. We see the Lord Jesus Christ coming some 50, 60 miles to be baptized of this man that we know from the Scripture is sent by God. And he says, "Baptize me, John." And John says, "Wait a minute, I need to be baptized of you." And the Lord Jesus says there in verse number 15, "Suffer it so." You just put up with it right now. You yield to this. "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill." There's something at hand that needs to be fulfilled, John, and we need to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. This is Jesus, if you will, his baptism of obedience and example. Did Jesus need to be baptized? Did he need that? And think about our Lord. He's perfect. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's coming. But it was ordained that he be baptized. And certainly there is a sense in which it was necessary for him to be baptized. But you know what? In and of itself, putting Jesus under the water didn't do a thing for Jesus. And what it did for us is it gave us an example that we who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ should follow him in that. But what else have you got? Okay, not to take away from anything that it is. And see, I think there are those groups out there that say that you need to be baptized to be saved or to fulfill salvation or whatever. And we know that the Scripture is plain that that is not the case. But a lot of people have trouble about that. Jesus has come and he's obeyed the Father and he's been baptized himself. But you know what? He's left us a great example. If I, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, having faith in him, would not submit to scriptural baptism and not follow the example of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, something's not right, is there? Because didn't he give us an example of that? And was not the Lord Jesus baptized? This is a baptism, isn't it? It's his baptism. He was put under by John. It's his baptism of obedience to the Father and his baptism of example to you and me. Then we come over here to John chapter 1. Let's take a look over here. John chapter 1. And I like the way this is worded here and the way it's presented to us. Because John, he makes very plain something that's at hand and part of what he was sent. He's a man sent by God and he is that forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, verse number 29, all these familiar passages. But he was baptized, baptizo, okay? Then we come here to John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming to him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Amen, amen. That is true. "This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. You would druther he come before me, but he's after me. I've come before him, for he was before me. He is my Lord," just as David said. He's my Lord, and he's been from everlasting. "And I knew him not," he said, "here on this earth and in the flesh. I didn't know what he looked like. I couldn't point you out to him. I didn't know the one that was sent after me that I was sent before. I couldn't put the finger on him and tell you that was him." He says, "And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel." I know he's coming. I know he's at hand. "Therefore am I come baptizing with water." And so baptizo, again, the putting under, the putting under, the putting under. That's what John was sent to do and what he did. Okay, verse 32. "And John bare record saying, when he came to me to be baptized, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him." See, Jesus came to his own baptism. You know, I know that's kind of an obvious point, but the Son of God was there. and the Spirit of God descended like a dove from heaven. And the final sanction of the Trinity was that the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. This thing of baptism by water is important to the Lord. But when somebody's put under the water, what have you got? In and of itself, you got somebody that's wet. Somebody that's been obedient if they're saved. Somebody that's toying with something that is none of theirs if they're not. Okay? Because water doesn't save sinners. Jesus saves sinners. But here, when the Lord Jesus came to John, he said, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him, and I knew him not. I didn't know who he would be. But he that sent me, if you will, God Almighty or the Father, sent me to baptize with water. The God that sent John said, the same said unto me, he said to me, upon whom you see the Son, the Spirit of descending, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit of God. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now, I wonder, is that a quote from John the Baptist? Likely so. Or it could be John the Apostle just adding his punch to the Scripture, okay? Nevertheless, one or the other, and surely both of them, testify that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, the Lord Jesus came to John to be baptized, and John put him under. The Lord Jesus says, it's right. Suffer it so. Yield to it, John. You want to be baptized by me, but I'm to be baptized by you because there's all righteousness to be fulfilled. I need to be put under that. The Lord's baptism of obedience and example to us. But here John speaks of one and said, that one that came to me and was baptized, and the Father told me, when I see the Spirit of God descending on like a dove, that's him. And what's he do? He baptizes with the Holy Spirit. He baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Now, what do you have when you got somebody that's baptized with the Holy Spirit? And understand, the context of Scripture is not rolling around in the floor and, you know, thrashing around and foaming at the mouth and stuff. That's not baptism of the Spirit. Not the Spirit of God. Maybe another Spirit, but not the Spirit of God. We're talking about baptism of the Spirit to an individual. We're talking about salvation of the soul. That's how our Lord saves. That's how our Lord saves. He told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you must be born again. Baptism, immersion, filling by the Spirit of God. That's the way God works. Here we see John declaring that this one that came to him to be baptized in water, and the token that the Lord had given that he would see, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. We come back to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Look over here. Matthew 3, verse 7. Matthew 3, verse number 7. Just got to get to Matthew. Matthew 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 7, the Scripture says, but when he, John the Baptist, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, where he was baptizing people, okay? It says here, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He says, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, because you're not. You're not repentant. You just think that you can treat this like some sacrament. Something that you can add to your religion. That's not what it is. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham, he preaches. Verse 10. And now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. There's going to be a dividing and a separation. Verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Because of. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And here's the definition of that, because that's not a complete sentence yet, is it? Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and shall gather the wheat into the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. He makes it real plain. This one that upon whom he saw the Spirit descend, upon whom God Almighty told him that would be the token of the Messiah, of the Savior, of the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. That's how John would know who he is. He's the one that's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He's the Savior. And you know what? He's the judge. And here to make it real plain, the Lord Jesus is like a man tending to his garner. And the wheat's in there, and it's either spring or fall, and it's been tromped on, and the Scripture talks about that. And the germ has been separated from the chaff, and he's throwing that up in the air. And you know what? The wheat falls back into the garner or very near, but the chaff blows on off. He's going to take the wheat and he's going to put it up. That's what's going to happen to the children of God. We're going to be put up with our Lord. We're going to be with him forever. We're going to be that. We are that which is of value, made of value by the salvation of our Lord. You know what's happening to the chaff? It's going to be burned up. This is Jesus' baptism of obedience, because all these things that he's going to do and has done have been given to him of the Father. Amen? To be the Savior, to be the Redeemer, to be the Judge. And it's also his baptism of ability. John says he can baptize you with the Holy Spirit, or he can put you under the fire. He's the one. He's the one. He baptizes this way. Then we come over here to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. The baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ baptism. Matthew chapter 20, we read this in the Scripture. In verse number 20, we pick it up. Matthew 20, 20. We see here in verse number 20 of Matthew 20, then came unto him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left, and on the left in thy kingdom. I tell you what, fellas, don't have your mama or your wife ask things for you. Be a man, and if you want something, ask it for yourself, okay? These are grown men, okay? Nevertheless, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Now, is he talking about when John put him under the water and his baptism of obedience and example? No, you know what he's talking about? He's talking about the baptism that makes all of baptism, makes the difference in all of baptism. Okay? That's what he's talking about. He said, are you able? They say unto him, we are able, and you got to hand it to him for being courageous. And he said unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. Here we see those two words, baptizo and baptisma. See, baptized is talking about being put under the water, being washed, if you will. It's a token. It's an identifier. It's a public proclamation of what's already happened to the sinner. By this baptism completed and accomplished and administered by our Lord. He says, are you going to be put under with this baptism that I'm going to be put under? He says, indeed you will. You'll drink of my cup. And we know that early on in the book of Acts, Brother James was martyred for the Lord's sake, wasn't he? John if we understand it right, was exiled and was abused in that way. But we understand that John endured things, but died an old man historically, if we know the truth about that. But you know what? Most of the rest of the apostles were martyred. They did drink of it. But our Lord said he's got a baptism that he's got to perform. He's got to bear. It goes on here. Let's read it. Verse 23, and he said unto them, "You shall indeed drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand or on my left is not mine to give, but shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father." When the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. They really were troubled with them. They were ill in the local vernacular. Luke chapter 12, let's look over here. The Lord makes this even clearer to us. In Luke chapter 12, the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks here about Peter asked a question in verse 41. He talked about a thief. He talked about where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, in verse 34. Be ready. Have your loins girded and lights burning. Okay? This is akin to what he preaches in the Sermon on the Mount. And he gives a warning about when the thief would come, the return of our Lord. He says, be ready. Peter asks in verse 41, you're speaking to this or to everybody? And the Lord, I think, makes it plain. He's speaking to everyone. Who's faithful and wise? Who's a steward? Who will the Lord give his a portion of meat in due season? He says, blessed are those that are looking when the Lord comes. Okay, he'll make him ruler over all that he has. And then we come here in verse 46. The Lord's coming when a day that you don't look for him. Those that are unaware will be cut in sunder, appointed their portion with the unbelievers, those that don't believe the word of the Lord, those that doubt, those that mock, those that reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, the servant, verse 47, that knew his Lord will and prepared not himself, neither according his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that didn't know will be, did commit things worthy of stripes, will be beaten with few stripes. There is degree of torment and punishment and chastisement and all those things. Much is given, much is required of you. Tell you what, somebody that's been sitting and blessed to be able to attend a New Testament Baptist church for their lifetime is going to have much required of them because of the preaching of the Word of God that's going out. And the heathen over in another land that never had the gospel brought to them and all that, their condemnation is there indeed, and those things are in the hands of God. But their condemnation is less to the one that's heard. I mean, note that. That's true. Verse 49, I've come to this. I am come to send fire on the earth. It's like the Lord says, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. And what will I if it already be kindled? If it be already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? I've got a baptism to be baptized with, the Lord Jesus says. And this is well after he's been baptized with John. That word straitened is talking about being compressed. Talking about being arrested. Talking about being preoccupied. He's got his heart, mind, desire, soul. Every whit about him is directed upon the baptism that he will accomplish. What is that? Well, it's his gospel. His death. The contradiction of sinners that he endured upon himself. The Creator being made as the criminal. The Savior. God Almighty, God the Son, being made the object of man's wrath and wickedness and a mock trial and lies and witnesses. They couldn't even... Him enduring that? Yeah, he stepped right up there to it. He was baptized with it. He had never known death. He knew death existed. And he would be able himself to mete out death unto sinners over the course of time, because life is in his hand. But he had never experienced death, but he stepped right off into it. He was baptized with it. He didn't deal with it from heaven 100 million miles off somewhere and stick his toe into it. He went into it fully as a man. He was baptized with it. And not only that, our Lord and Savior, that doesn't even belong near a graveyard, was put in a graveyard. I'm not mad. I'm just amazed that He would do such a thing for me and you. And praise God, 3 days and three nights later, He took His life back again. And He took death, as we know in the Scriptures and we've preached in times past, He took death and He blew death wide open, didn't He? He took death and He put death away. The Scripture says, Peter tells us, He abolished death because He endured that baptism. Isn't that something? Our Lord's baptism of obedience and accomplishment. His baptism of obedience and example to us, being put under the water. We should well follow Christ as believers and the children of God saved by Him. His obedience of ability. He's the one that gives out the Spirit, and He's the one that condemns men to hell and the lake of fire. It's just that way. You need Him. You need Him. And our Lord's, thank, praise God, our Lord's baptism of obedience, because He obeyed the Father in doing so, didn't He? And all these things. And His baptism of accomplishment. Only He could do that. Only He could be baptized that way and come out alive. And you know what? Our good Lord did that, and He takes what He did and He imputes that to our account. Isn't that wonderful? You know, in consideration of this, I'm not spending much time on it at all, but what would we have with only water baptism? If the only baptism that there was water baptism, what would we have? We would have nothing. What would we have? What would we have? And I know these are connected, but I ask you to consider about it and think about it with me this way. What if we only had water baptism and had Spirit, Holy Spirit baptism? See, the saints, all the way up to the gospel, the fulfilling of the gospel by the Lord Jesus Christ, they were saved by a promise of what Jesus would do. Now, when you're talking about God, what He says goes. He's going to do it. It's as good as done. But it wasn't done in time. In the fullness of time, the Scripture says, Jesus came and did those things. He was manifested that He did them. He did them for real. But the promise was sure. The promise was steadfast and sure. But what if we only had a promise of salvation and water baptism without the baptism that our Lord Jesus Christ subjected Himself to? What would we have? I know it's hard to take those two and peel them apart. But you understand what I'm saying? What would we have? Isn't it indeed a fallacy that men trust in water baptism to save? It's a token. It's just like those that would trust in the Lord's table here, the observance of the Lord's Supper for salvation. It takes what Jesus did. And this points to it. Baptism points to it. Our Lord's baptism, obedience, and example there with John. His baptism of obedience and ability that He administers to sinners. And our Lord's baptism of obedience and accomplishment, what He was baptized with, that we might be saved. With His baptism that He obediently accomplished for our sakes, we have salvation of our souls, full and free. Sinner, you can't pay a thing for it. Don't even bother trying or thinking about it. Come to our Lord. Repent of your sins and trust in Him. It is the only way. You need His baptism. So quickly, this is a long conclusion, but I'd rather give a long conclusion as a long intro, like Brother Sean did. Boy, man, he had us on the edge of our seats, and he does that. He's good at that. Romans chapter 6, verse number 3. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism, what Jesus did. We were put under the water to point to what Jesus did for us. But that putting under the water has no significance. Understand, it has no power. It's obedience to our Lord, but being put under that water has no power. It's a showing forth, a testimony and witness of that baptism that Jesus endured and went through for us. You see that? I tell you, for me, that helped me. That helped put a few of these passages in a better light, okay? And maybe you were already there, and I'm thankful for that. But therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death. That at like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We are a new creature in Christ, new creation in Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, let's take a look over here quickly. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 4, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. God's got one doctrine, one way, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Amen? That baptism that Jesus did is the baptism that made the difference. So that we, testifying as the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, when we're baptized, we point to what he did for us. That baptism made the difference. And for the child of God who's saved, this baptism should be followed in obedience and serving our Lord. See how that is? Baptizo, the putting under of the water for the sake of obedience, but baptisma, what Jesus did for us. It goes on here, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, verse 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And that his baptism of ability, he baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The Holy Spirit and fire. He saves sinners. And he condemns sinners to hell in the lake of fire forever for their lack of obedience to the gospel of Christ. We come over here to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 10. Colossians 2, verse number 10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, speaking of Jesus, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. The cutting away of that old stony heart and the giving a heart of flesh. One way to look at it. Or our sins being paid for and removed from us. Praise God, my sins have been cut away by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, which is great, who hath raised him from the dead. Notice how that resurrection always is in there with that? His baptism. Yeah, me being baptizo shows his baptisma for my sake, for me and for you, for us who our Lord has saved. And so then this passage, which the baptismal regeneration crowd like to claim to, let's take a look at it in this light, in this consideration. In 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, the apostle speaks about Noah. Okay, and how Noah and his family were saved by the Lord's, by the ark and by the water that lifted it up. Verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Okay, get you up here, put you in the water. Has that saved you? What about this baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ? Has that saved you? Can that save you? Won't that save you forevermore? Indeed it will. Indeed it will. See, this is a token of acknowledgement of that for the individual. Baptism indeed does save us, doesn't it? Not this up here in the tub, but the baptism of a accomplishment by our Lord for us. Okay? Well, he goes on to say there, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, not washing, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. How do you have peace with the Lord? Only by Jesus Christ. Only by repentance and faith in Him that He died for me. That He, what He said, somehow He's able to take care of my sins. Somehow He's able to take care of me in this life and when I leave this life to the life to come. He's made promises that are sure and steadfast, and I know He's no liar and He'll always keep them because of what He did for me. Because of what He did in the baptism of our Lord, and in that second point, you know, His baptism of obedience and example, His baptism of obedience and ability, because He has saved me. He gave His Spirit to dwell within me. He has saved me because of what He's done for me. Therefore, I will praise Him. I will glorify Him. I will magnify Him by being obedient to Him and following Him because of what He's done for me. And the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. And here it is again, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can't get away from that, can you? Can't get away from that. In closing, and I know indeed the wording here is if you take a look at the original, this here in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, this word is indeed the dunking, okay, baptizo, okay? But in light of the message and in light of these things that we've seen in the Scripture, our Lord says to the church there, His first church, as He, another place of the commission that He gives them, He says, in Mark 16, verse number 15, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. See, there's got to be faith in the Lord Jesus' baptism, not when He was dunked by John. There's got to be faith in what He went through in the baptism. That baptism that He said He was in a strait till it be accomplished. Faith in that for you. Before that baptism will tell or show anything. Because see, that baptism won't save you. But the baptism of our Lord, He that believeth and is baptized, if you legitimately show forth in baptism what's happened to you, you give witness to what Jesus has done for you in His baptism. You see, understand that? You see what I'm saying? But if you go up there to be saved, you're going to just be as lost as you ever were. You're going to be as lost as you were when you stepped in the tub. You're going to trust in that, or you're going to trust in our Lord? Because it goes on to say, what? He that believeth not. See, I think that's the reason that it's that way. It doesn't say he that believeth not and is not baptized shall be damned, but he that believeth not. Because see, the faith comes in believing in His baptism of accomplishment. Our Lord Jesus Christ's baptism. What a wondrous, glorious thing our Lord has done for us.